Thank you for tuning in to our online sermons. I'm Pastor Brandon Walters, and I pray this message will bless and encourage you today.
If you have your Bibles, once again, take them with me back to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. I was laughing to myself. You ever tell yourself jokes in your head? And sometimes they're funny in your head, and then when you tell them out loud, they're not as funny. Well, I had a moment like that a few minutes ago, but I won't really go too far into it, but it was along the lines when we were talking about the contact information and stuff like that. I'll never forget, I heard of a young man. He had said that when they joined their church, and I don't remember where the church was at, he said that the pastor requested a key to their home. And that was really so that he could check in whenever he needed to and walk in and open the door and make sure that they were behaving like good Christians. I assure you, we will never do anything like that here, all right? I've got too much time to worry about my own family and our own problems and issues. I don't need to be walking into your house and making sure that you're living right. And so it kind of made me chuckle a little bit. But if you would help us out with that, we'd love to touch base with you and on our contact sheet and really our prayer chain and our meal ministry there. If you would love to be a part of that, we'd love to help. Just encourage and uplift those that we come to church with. Amen. We're going to continue going through our series this morning, The Sower. And last week, we kind of really had an introduction to this book, and we'll kind of pick up where we left off. And I want to begin in verse number 10 this morning. Jesus had just addressed the parable of the sower. And then his disciples, verse number 10, this is where we find ourselves. The Bible says, "The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now remember, there was a parable. Jesus began teaching in parables for a reason. And it was a story here. It was applicable to all those that were going through and sitting under the teaching of Jesus Christ. But the disciples had never heard this type of teaching before. They asked this question. And then Jesus replies, verse 11, "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given." While we go through this passage, I want you to take note as well of how many times he uses the words hear or ears or hearing. The Bible says, "But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parable, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled by the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we're so blessed to be here once again, and we're just grateful to be able to spend time in your word, Lord. My heart has been prepared through the singing, through the words that we sing. We sing about the cross. We sing about how great you are. And Lord, I pray that you never let us forget that. There is always something to be grateful for. There is always something to be joyous about. And Lord, I would start by first and foremost saying our salvation. And Lord, as we address the soils here, I pray that if there be some here this morning that don't know if they are saved, that you would reveal that to them and allow them to make the steps towards salvation. Lord, I pray for those that are out, many out traveling, going with family and spending time on vacation. We're thrilled that they're able to have those opportunities, and we pray that you give them rest while they are away. And I pray that you be with the remainder of our sermon today. Speak to us, Lord, as a church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I think, once again, it's no secret that Jesus Christ was the master teacher, amen. He had the unique ability to take scenes from everyday life and use them to teach profound spiritual truths, and such is the case with the passages that we are going through this morning. As Jesus sat by the seaside here, we go back to verse number 1 and we see him sitting there. And I don't know about you, I came across something this week in my studies that kind of just bothers me a little bit. How many of you would agree with me that we ought to always preach and teach the Bible and live it out as accurately as we can? How many of you would agree with me in that statement? Let me share you some troubling insight I had this week. The Bible says that Jesus was sitting by the sea. The people came to him, great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went up into the ship and sat. Here's the picture. Jesus is sitting, the people are standing, and yet today I am standing and you are sitting. We may have to revisit this down the road. Jesus is here, he's sitting by the seaside, and that was just fun and free. That really has no bearing on the sermon this morning. He began to talk about an image, though. An image that which everyone present was familiar with. He talked about a man taking seed into a field, and he pictured that man casting the seed upon the earth, and this seed fell upon the ground and landed upon differing types of soils. Some of the seed brought forth fruit, and others that we see did not. Jesus used this common teaching to teach those who heard him about the condition of the human heart. And really, if you go back to last week, we saw the first 9 verses. It really will reveal the state of your heart. That does not change today. By the end of the sermon today, you should be able to align your heart with a specific type of soil. Just as Jesus is teaching here, he's teaching them about their condition, about their heart, and here we see that the sower is the Holy Spirit. The seed that we see here is the gospel of grace once again, and the soil, once again, it's no secret, is simply the human heart. From his words, we learn that the human heart is like soil. It can either receive the seed of the gospel and produce a harvest of spiritual fruit, or it can be unprepared and produce nothing of value for the glory of the name of God. And I'm going to share with you what I believe the answer is this morning, and what I believe it mainly comes down, and that would be in verse number 9 when Jesus said these words, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Church, I just want to tell you this morning, you better listen up. You better listen to the word of God as he puts it upon your heart. You better listen to the words. And all throughout scripture, we see Jesus would teach and preach. And I believe that the words of Christ in red are important words. I don't know about you this morning, but whenever Jesus is speaking, whenever Jesus is teaching, we ought to listen to what God has to say this morning. Amen. There are times that Jesus will use a word like verily. That word has been translated truly or most assuredly. And there's times in the Bible we see the words verily, verily. And Jesus is just letting the crowds and letting the people know, hey, the message that is about to be brought forth is of the utmost importance. You go to the book of James, another great preacher of the word of God. He uses a passage there in James chapter number 4. He uses a phrase, go to now. And that's an old English term and an old English phrase that just simply means you better listen up. I don't know about you, church, this morning, but how many of you would believe and say that God has something to say to us? I believe God has something to say. I believe that's why God's word has been preserved, how it's stood the test of time. But when we come to the parable of the sower, Jesus lists three wrong ways to hear and one right way to listen. There is hearing that barely gets started and the word is gone before you even get out the door. There is a hearing that lasts until there are hard times, as Jesus explained it. There is a hearing that flourishes until the riches and pleasures of this life choke it off. And then there is a listening this morning as we look at the parable of the sower. There is a listening that defeats the devil, endures trials, and bears fruit unto eternal life. What do we need to be the right kind of listener this morning? We look at our kids and we all laugh because they're not very good listeners, amen? I know that if there is a TV show on or a tablet on in my home, if I ask my kids to do something, it will not get accomplished because they are distracted. And so I want to ask you for just a few moments that you would just pray in your heart to allow God to remove the distractions from your life. As we prepared our hearts by the music, by the singing, by our Bible studies throughout the week, we are preparing our hearts for this moment. And I want you to understand, as Jesus reiterates the parable to his disciples here, I believe it is of the utmost importance that we listen to the words of our Savior this morning. And if you're taking notes, I want you to notice with me three reiterations by Jesus this morning. First of all, I want you to see that he gives us the plan of the sower. The sower in this parable is a man who goes into his field with the intention, here's the key phrase, with the intention of raising a crop and gleaning a harvest. Once again, I've never been a farmer. I've never really planted anything. I remember when I was a kid, I've never been a big fan of peaches. I don't know about the rest of you. How many of you enjoy a good peach? I'm sorry if I offended you this morning. Plums, they're a little better. Usually in the middle of a peach or a plum, they have what's called the pit or the seed or whatever you want to call it. I remember as a young boy, we lived out in pretty much the desert once again. There wasn't a whole lot going on where we grew up, but I remember eating a peach as a young man and taking that pit, planting it into the ground, and watering it, hoping and expecting to see something. I remember I came by a few days later, and for the first time on the reservation, I saw grass. I'll never forget that. Now, I'm not saying that made me a farmer at that point in my life. I was probably six. I'm just saying that I expected God to do something, and I expected that nature would take its course, and by watering, and we visit last week's sermon and talk about the seed and giving the seed and allowing God to water and allowing God to cultivate, that is the expectation of all the farmers that farm today. There is an expectation that their hard work, that the time and effort they put in is going to reap some sort of benefits. Such is the case here with the Lord. He sent his son in the world to die, and he sends his spirit into the world to convict lost people of their sins so that he might reap a spiritual harvest and to the glory of his name. The Bible says in John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So as a bountiful harvest brings riches and honor to the farmer, so is the same of salvation as it brings souls and glory to the name and honor to the name of God. And after all, the only reason God does anything, including saving souls this morning, is for this purpose, to bring glory to his name. He had an expectation, and even though the plan of God to save the lost is all for his glory, I don't know about you, church, but this morning I still praise God for the fact that he devised such a perfect plan to save those who believe. There is nothing more that we should be thankful for in this life than our salvation. And if you're here this morning and you don't understand salvation and exactly what God did by sending his son to die on a cross for your sins, then I pray that your heart would be prepared throughout the sermon today as the seed is being planted, the gospel message. And if you are saved, once again, you should praise his name, that he sent his son Jesus to die for you, that he rose from the dead, that in spite of your sinful condition, he loved you and extended grace to you, and he saved your soul. As a Christian, I find it so much better, or it pleases my heart when I quote passages like Romans 5:8. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul also wrote in the book of Ephesians, and you'll remember as we went through our study in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved. It is the grace of God that gives us the hope of eternal life. It is the grace of God that saves us from a lost and eternal life in a devil's hell. And we ought to be thankful for that this morning. The plan of the sower was this. He went in with expectations. I don't know about you, but I think that many times we put a limit on God's power in our life. And we don't go in with expectations, and we don't go into the world expecting God to change people's life. And we adopt this legalistic mentality, and we look at people, and we begin to decide, this person should come to church, that person should be invited, this person needs prayer, that person has no chance. Friend, I'm just going to tell you this morning, I'm so glad God didn't leave it up to us to decide who can and cannot get into heaven. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The plan of the sower was this: he went in expecting a harvest. And many times we don't go out into the world expecting God to change people's life. We don't pray prayers expecting God to change them. In fact, that's what you see in the book of Acts and the story of Peter there. They were praying, were they not? And then when Peter knocked on the door, they were surprised. No, surely not. It's not him. God couldn't do those things. They may not have said that out loud, but that's what they believed in their heart. And I believe as a church, that's where we're at in America. We see a group of people politically, we see a group of sinners in our neighborhood who are lost, and we say this in our heart, I will not witness to that person because they will never change. What are we doing? We're putting a limit on God's power this morning. We have got to change our mentality. We've got to change, and we've got to listen to what God says. And he was just letting us know that the plan of the sower was an expectation. But secondly, this morning, he shows the disciples a very important truth: the potential for the seed. Once again, this kind of just piggybacks off the first point. Every seed that was sown by the sower had the potential to produce much more seed. Look at verse number 23, if you will. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, I remember preaching and teaching to teenagers. And I remember there were kids that I would look at from a distance, and I would say in my heart, this kid's going somewhere. This kid has the potential to do something for the glory of God. But as much as it pains me this morning to also say this, there were kids I looked at and said, they have no chance. God will never use them. God will never take them. He will never allow them. God convicted my heart very hard one day as a youth pastor. And I have tried to adopt this mentality and this practice, and just as Jesus is reiterating to his disciples here, I try to have the same mentality going forward. Everyone has the potential to bear fruit for Jesus Christ in this life. You know, it's possible that the greatest preacher we've ever heard in life, Sunday school teachers, could have more fruit than him. nursery workers could produce more fruit than him. I'm not saying it's a competition. I'm just saying that there is the potential this morning to do great things for the Word of God and to be a person or a Christian who is allowing God's Word to change their life, to be a witness and a testimony to those around him. And one little seed we see here in this passage, it had the potential to multiply itself 3,000% or 6,000% or even, Jesus says, 10,000%. Those of you that farm have seen this principle in action. You can plant one bean seed, and from that seed reap many beans, and each pod could contain several more than just the initial seed that was planted. And some of you will sow one squash seed, and it will produce a plant that yields several fully grown squash, and each containing dozens, if not hundreds, of new seeds. You could plant one corn seed and watch it produce a plant that will yield several ears of corn, each containing many rows of fresh seed. The seed has the potential this morning to reproduce itself many times over. Such is the seed of the gospel of grace. When it is sown in a ready heart, Jesus is letting us know it will germinate and reproduce itself repeatedly. The seed has the potential to begin small and to produce. I'm not saying that any of you in here this morning are hopeless. I want you to understand Jesus is making it very clear. There is potential in every single person in this room to be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to also change and affect others around them by sharing the same seed. Is that not what we see in the gospel as it comes to and pertains to the life of the Apostle Paul this morning? And I love the Apostle Paul. He's a wonderful illustration. But we see a man who hated Christians. We see a man, the Bible says, that wreaked havoc of the church. He would drag them out from their homes, trying to persecute them. When he was saved, he was on the road to Damascus. He was really going there to get some certificate signed so he could go forward and work his plan to kill more Christians. And Jesus' gospel came to him on that road and changed his life forever. And if the Apostle Paul was here this morning, I believe he would tell you just the same as he would tell me, it was not easy all the time, but I'm so glad that I was faithful to the Word of God. He writes several times in the New Testament, it is my duty. I can't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. He writes about those things. He writes about in the book of Ephesians being brought from dead to life. And all of this was made possible by the seed of the gospel. And at the end of his life, he made this statement, I have finished my course. I think he made that statement knowing I did all that I could to witness to others. Many of the epistles and the things that we read of the Apostle Paul were written at times in a jail cell. It was never easy, but he would probably let you know it was worth it. And I believe if God can save people like the Apostle Paul, why can't he save those that we see in political positions above our country? Why can't he save those who are running over our school boards today? Why can't he save those? I think many times it's because we limit God's power. And we don't want to witness to those people. We don't want to pray for them. We see lots of problems, yet we never pray about how God would use us to do things differently. We are limiting the power of God, and there is potential in every person on this planet, I truly believe this morning, to multiply over and over again the seed. And yet we capsize God when it comes to this. You see, when the seed of the gospel finds a lodging place in the heart that has been plowed by the Word of God and tilled by the grace of God, it will germinate and leave the heart forever changed, producing a harvest of spiritual fruit to the glory of God. Now, we've talked about fruit a little bit, and we're going to kind of change directions here and have a teaching moment. We talked about fruit a little bit last week, and As we come into the last point, I want you to understand that it's very evident the first three types of soil, the conclusion would be that these are lost people. These are lost people. The fourth would be the good soil, and we'll get into depth on those here in just a moment. The good soil accepts, it receives, it allows fruit to grow in your own personal life. And yet there is a kind of a tree, if you will. There's types of fruit that we all can produce this morning, and it starts first of all with sanctification. The types of fruit we will produce as Christians always begins with sanctification. What does that mean, Pastor Brandon? I'm so glad you asked. That means this: we become more like Him. We become more like Jesus. This is evident in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. Not only do we go from sanctification, we move to the second type of fruit. That is spirituality. What does that mean? That is, we behave more like Him. Not only have we become like Him, but now we ought to behave like Him. That's evident in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the last order of fruit that I believe you will see in your life personally as a Christian is this: you will see souls. We will be sanctified, we will have spirituality, and then we will see souls. That means this: we are burdened like Christ for those around us. We don't pick and choose. I like this neighbor, I don't like that neighbor. I like this parent at my kid's school, I don't like that parent. We don't get to pick and choose. It's very evident that we become burdened for all of humanity. I don't care what you think about our president. When was the last time you prayed for him? Do you believe that the gospel message can change a man like Joe Biden this morning? Many of us would answer in our hearts secretly, he'll never change. That's because we're not allowing the fruit to be produced in our life properly. It brings us really to our last point this morning, and Jesus reiterates this very eloquently to his disciples. There is the problem of the soils this morning. Now, we touched on these last week, and we're going to touch on them once again this morning, and I hope it's okay with you that we go just a little bit deeper into what they mean this morning. As we bring things to a close here in the next few minutes, as the sower sowed his seed, it fell upon four distinct types of soil. We should mention once again that each of the soils was good soil. And I want you to understand what I mean by that. By the condition the soil was in, the seed landed upon it, determined its potential for producing a suitable harvest. We see that there was hard, there was wayside, and we're going to go through those. I'm not saying that every soil can accept God's heart. I'm just saying every soil is good. And when I say that, I want to make this comparison. Every person in America deserves to hear the gospel message. There is that potential there once again. And let's just take it a step further. Not only every person in America, but I believe every person in the world. That's why we support our missionaries as they try to reach and teach and preach to those that are lost in different countries. And once again, we're not comparing the soils to the type of human hearts this morning, just as there are no bad soils, there are no bad people. There is nobody that can't hear the gospel message this morning. But what Jesus is trying to show us is it's all about how they listen. How do we respond? How do we hear? I remember when I was a teenager, and I may have shared this story before, but usually good teenagers and their parents don't fight, right? Well, I tend to think that I wasn't a good teenager because my parents and I fought a lot, it seemed like, over things about the Bible, about what the Bible said, and my parents were always good at going to us, hugging us, telling us they loved us. I still never understood that. They would discipline you, or we'll use the word timeout this morning, but many of you know what I'm talking about when we make this motion, all right? There was discipline in our home, and my mom and dad would usually say things like, "This hurts me more than it hurts you," and I was like, "Yeah, right, you psychos." My parents were usually good at loving on us, and they would come to us if we were in trouble and let us know why we got in trouble, what the Bible says, and they would teach us. And I believe all good parents ought to teach their kids right from wrong, and all good parents ought to teach their kids what the Bible says. But my mom would always try to hug us, and it always just seemed like I had a pride issue as a teenager. Looking back now, I can admit that, amen. My mom would hug me, and I would just sit there with my hands on my hips or my hands in my pocket, and I would not hug her back. And she'd say things like, "Your heart is so hard." She would say things like that to me. And you know what that means now that I look back? It means just the same as Christian people can hear the word of God and you can sit in your seat with your arms crossed, shaking your head at God. "I will not allow you to change my heart. I will not allow you to change my life." We can have hard hearts as Christian. I want you to understand the first three soils, we come to the conclusion they are lost people. But don't you ever mistake this as a Christian. We can harden ourselves to God's word this morning. And so he goes on and he's teaching them that there's four types of soils mentioned here. It's very revealing when it comes to the understanding of the human heart and why people respond to the gospel as they do. I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever heard a message and you just kind of look around the room and be like, "Boy, I don't know how anybody can walk out of here this morning not knowing Jesus Christ." Usually that's me on Easter. I try to allow the videos to play a work in the heart and allow people to get the visualization. And many times we can get choked up at the imagery of Christ being sacrificed for each and every one of us. And usually I'll walk out of here and think, there is no one in here that can leave and not be saved this morning. But you know what the honest truth is? A lot of people will still walk out those doors any given Sunday not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, and most of the time it's because of their heart. And this is where Jesus was reiterating to his disciples, "You better listen up. He that hath ears to hear, hear the word. Here are the different types of soils, and here is the imagery he is trying to give us this morning." Once again, the first soil that we see is what they would call the hard soil. Verse number 19 says it like this, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart." He's referring back to verse number 7. Remember, the fowls of the air, they came and they ate the seeds. And Jesus is making the connection there of Satan. God's word can fall upon your heart, but understand this morning, Satan is going to do all that he can to make sure that those seeds never set root in your heart this morning. And that is what he's saying there at the end of verse number 19. He says, "This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Now, the wayside refers to the narrow footpaths that ran beside and through the fields. Once again, they didn't really have roads like we do today, the highways, and people would travel. And so what you would see is there were trails going through the fields along the way, and along that soil of them, it had become hard as concrete from the people that walked on it year after year, day after day. The feet of the travelers that had walked upon them, it had caused this type of soil to become hard. When the seed fell on the footpath, though, as we see in the scriptures, it could not penetrate the soil, and it remained there in the open only to be devoured by the fowls of the air. Once again, you read about that in verse number 7. We are told as we study and go through our commentaries and as we look into this, that this type of soil speaks of the person who hears the gospel but doesn't understand it. That is, they cannot make the connection between the claims of the gospel and their own life. Maybe they are steeped in sin and refuse to believe. Maybe they are callous and cold toward the things of God and refuse to hear. Maybe they have hardened their hearts for years against the call of the gospel, and like a path trampled underfoot for centuries, they have become hard-hearted people. Whatever their need, though, they are hard-hearted, and the seed of the gospel, it cannot penetrate once again. And when this happens, once again, Jesus made this connection there, the devil and his minions will snatch away the gospel seeds by diverting the mind and helping the person become even more hardened against God. This person has a heart that is not prepared for a work of grace leading to salvation. Once again, how could somebody hear a gospel message not be changed? It's because their heart has been hardened. And they don't want to allow change. And the devil's doing a very good job of making sure that their attention is diverted everywhere but the gospel. That is what we would call the hard soil, the wayside as it's referenced in the Bible. But the second one we come across here, once again, is the rocky soil or the stony soil. And the Bible says in verse 20, but he that received the seed into the stony places. You go back to verse number 5, some fell upon stony places. And the stony places here, it looks very similar to what we have out back of our property. Amen. Now, it's very green this year, and we can credit the rain for all of that. Once again, the rain doesn't produce grass in our property here. It produces weeds, amen? And so I think you're going to draw a connection between the soil number 2 and soil number 3 with our own property out back. And I'll never forget, many of you remember the building project that we went through, that the Lord allowed us to come through to build this beautiful facility here. But there was times in the winter months where we would go out back and we'd work out here, Brother Broyles. And I'll never forget, we had to dig a pipeline. And my dad, being the cheapo that he was, just gave us a hoe, some shovels, and said, get to work. We spent about 2 hours. And I kid you not, we may have gotten down this far just by digging out here out back. What we typically see is the stony place that he's referencing here, it was a common place in Palestine. Often there would be an outcropping of limestone rock covered by a thin layer of topsoil. It was almost a thought that you could get the topsoil turned, but you go down just far enough and you couldn't go any further. I'll never forget, we finally went to my dad and pleaded, Dad, we need some power tools, amen. All Christian men should have some power tools in their life, amen. And we got out here and we got the backhoe and they dropped it off here, and that was a great day. You want to know what I remember seeing? This power tool fueled by hydraulics, it struggled to get through the ground that we were trying to dig through with shovels. I'll never forget looking at my dad, be like, see what you just put us through? We have blisters and blood because of you. That backhoe can't even penetrate through that stony ground and that stony soil and that rocky soil out back. And the Bible and Jesus was saying the soil looks like it's ready to be sown. You can get the topsoil turned over. This ground looks good and productive, and seed that is cast here, it will germinate and quickly spring up into a promising plant. But because there is no depth of soil, or as he uses it, there was no root, there was no way for this to root. As soon as the sun beats down on that tender plant, it will wither and die. And it will not produce any fruit. It will not produce anything productive. The kind of soil here that he's speaking of, it speaks of that heart that makes an emotional response to the presentation of the gospel. Allow me to explain what I mean real quick by that. Many of us have sat in a church service, and we've been convicted by the Word of God. Amen. You remember? When you got saved, you were convicted, and you had to lay aside your pride and walk down an aisle or find a preacher, find a teacher, and allow them to show you through the Bible how you can know for sure. Maybe some of you got saved at home. The Lord just laid it on your heart. You were convicted. Maybe you were listening to good Christian music. Maybe you were listening to podcasts, sermons. Whatever it was, we have all felt conviction a time or another. I love watching missionaries' presentations, because you want to know what it usually means for me? It usually means when I see that video presentation, I'm going to go to the missionary and be like, sign me up. I'm ready to go to the mission field. What usually happens is we see third world countries and poverty and people who are struggling through life, and they look like they could use a good dose of love and a good dose of Jesus Christ. And usually we try to make an emotional decision and we sign up. And I understand and I know that God has not called me to that field. And I'm not saying that that could ever change. I'm just saying that many times we have all made emotional decisions. It's the same when somebody walks through that door. They want to meet with pastor and they want to talk about salvation. And we go through the Bible and they make a profession of faith. 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the road, they are no longer in church. Usually it's just an emotional decision. There's no rooting. It doesn't really grab the heart. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. They were never truly saved. And you say, Brother Brandon, how can you back that up? I'll prove that in just a moment. But the third soil that we see is the thorny soil. Once again, you go out back today, if you want to walk around barefoot, be my guest, because you may find one of those in your big toe or your pinky toe. I'm not sure which is worse. This week, I had the privilege of pulling some weeds in my own lawn, and you know what? I was reminded very quickly how sharp roses are. As I reached down and grabbed the weed, I didn't realize how far in I was, and the rose bush just grabbed my arm and cut into me. That was a lovely feeling. We've all worked in this, and many of you are smart. I'm not as smart. I don't use gloves. Many of you will wear gloves, and that will help eliminate the poking or prodding of a goat head. Amen. But Jesus is saying that some fell on thorny ground. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This soil looks like it's ready to be sown, but underneath the surface are living roots and seeds of thorns and weeds. And when the seeds fall here, Jesus is saying, it also quickly springs to life and gives every indication that a good harvest will follow. However, the same ground begins to produce the thorns and the weeds that were already there, and they soon choke out the tender plant. He's giving the illustration here. This is a picture of the heart that tries to have the benefit of the gospel while still clinging to the thorns of sin. As I read through this, I was reminded of our series in Hosea and the people there. They wanted to still serve God, and it seems like most Christians in America have no problem at times coming to church on Sunday morning. But the rest of the time, and this is what you saw in the children of Israel, we want to serve our own gods. We want to serve our own way. We want to do things our way. God, we love you, but we want to live this dual citizenship. And the Bible makes it very clear. I don't know what your beliefs are. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, the Bible says. You can't live a life a relationship with Christ, and you can't have this way where you're spending time with God and then in the next moment you're living like the world, or you're acting like the world, or you're partaking of all the things the world has to offer. Now you say, Brother Brandon, you made the statement that the first three soils you believe were not saved. I believe it's this, because he says there at the end of verse number 22, you see this with all of the soils except the last one, they were unfruitful. They were unfruitful. The question has got to be asked this morning, how is your fruit as a Christian? The last soil that Christ brings us to this morning is the good soil. He reiterates this to the disciples. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Finally, we get to the portion of scripture where some seed has fallen onto good ground. And once again, this ground has been worked on and prepared. It had been plowed and tilled. It was ready to receive the seed. When it came, the seed germinated within the heart of the soil, and the plant began to grow. When the plant reached maturity, it began to produce fruit that brought honor and gain to the farmer. That is the same imagery that Christ wants to see within the church. Many of us know people that are hard-hearted. Most men in this room are hard-headed. There's a difference. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like our wives telling us what to do. We don't like the instructions. And usually when we build something, there's parts left over. There are Christians this morning that are hard-hearted towards the things of God. They have quenched the Spirit. But I'm saying this morning, as Jesus said, these first three soils, they weren't producing fruit. And what we want to see in the life of every church member is somebody that's been saved, that's been discipled, that's been worked with, that's been brought through the Word of God and taught the things of God, of how Jesus would want. As Jesus left, he even told his disciples to continue in the things which I have taught you. It's not one of those, hey, one and done, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Best of luck to you. But the greatest thing that you could see in your life as a Christian is not how many times you read through the Bible. It's not how many hours a day that you pray. It's how many souls have you led to Jesus Christ? How many people have you invited to come to a church to hear the gospel message? Some of you may be intimidated. I've been there. Maybe you're sitting there in the seat. I just don't know what to say. I may say the wrong words. I don't want to mess it up. It's better for us to just allow God to lead us and invite them rather than stray away and never talk about Christ with somebody who needs it. The seed needs to fall on good soil, and God has placed you in some people's life to help prepare their heart. Once again, you're not going to be able to save, baptize everybody in the first conversation. I wish it worked like that. I really did. I wish that after a few hours together, they'd have everything figured out. It takes some time. But as we look to the sower, he had a plan. He went in with expectation and good soil. The good soil is there. It's been prepared. The first three soils, I don't believe, are saved. They produce no fruit. Once again, I don't want you to get hung up on the fruit this morning, because some of these plants brought forth more fruit than others. Once again, it's possible for you to produce more fruit than some of the greatest preachers in history. I'm not saying that that's our goal, as long as you are producing fruit. The question then becomes, when was the last time you invited someone to church? I'm not just talking about when was the last time you led someone to the Lord. When was the last time that you brought someone to church? And maybe by God's amazing grace, they accepted Jesus Christ and they changed. And they are a part of this church today because of your faithfulness. Are we producing fruit the way we ought to be? Once again, I believe we could all do way better than we're currently doing. I believe, once again, if we look back, we put a cap at times on what God can do. And we pray expecting, hoping, that God would change the people in our life, the people we work with, the people that live closest to us. We pray that God would change them, and yet we really don't expect much. Everyone here today knows where they stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can look at you, I can make an observation, and I can say you're here in your life, you're here in your spiritual walk. And I love to see joyous people coming to church on Sunday morning. It usually tells a lot about where their heart's at. But the bottom line is this. If you're here this morning, we all could use Christ for something in our life. Whether you need him in salvation, in repentance, in rededication, anything that you need Christ for this morning, I'm going to give you a little insight. We're about to have heads bowed and eyes closed. I would take that time to pray and ask God to help your heart. How's your fruit this morning? We better listen up. We expect our kids to listen. We want the people in authority, our government, to listen to what we have to say. And yet we don't do such a good job at listening to what God tells us in his words. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.
Once again, thank you for listening. If you have any other questions or would like to contact a member of our staff, feel free to call us at 970-970-3537635.